All right, here we go. Salute to NBA Nation on this Saturday morning slash afternoon. Another edition of the NBA Report, man, presented by Prize Picks. Use our code MBAR, Prize Picks, and get an instant deposit match of up to $100. NBA playoff madness is upon us. The playoffs have not started yet, but the seeding and the matchups is still up for grabs, man. One more game in the regular season, and it is anything goes, and we're going to break it all down, man. The East scenarios, the West scenarios, we're going to get you ready for a wild, wild NBA Sunday. So lock in, hit that like button, hit the share button, and subscribe to the channel. CP the Franchise, Alex Rotaros, Andrew Salop, the 1-2 combo in the building. Let's get right to it, man. We got a lot to talk about. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that like button, hit the share button, and subscribe to the channel. Another edition of the NBA Report. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. All right, fellas, how you feeling, man? Andrew, what's good, man? You good?
Feeling good, man. How are you guys?
Good, good, man.
Doing well. Just ran a 5K this morning.
My man, I was about to say, my guy Prefontaine over here. What's going on, man? How you feeling, man? How you feeling?
Good. Yeah. I'm feeling good. I ran, unofficially, according to my watch, I ran the 5K in 21 minutes and 44 seconds. And it started a little early before I started before I got across the start line. But it was good, man. It was nice getting out there, waking up at 5 a.m., getting ready for an 8 o'clock run. You know how it is. And we did a show last night. And funny enough, everybody was wondering, like, what was CP and Alex talking about? Where, you know, Alex had to get off, you know, early and was running too late. And it's like, guys, I'm just running a 5K. There's nothing deeper than that.
Wow. 5 a.m. is discipline, man.
That's discipline. Because we wrapped up at, like, after 12, bro.
Yes, sir.
Wow. So good job by you. And you still, I think you said you thought you were going to be done in, like, 25 minutes, right?
Yeah, I said 25.
Beat your time. Beat your time. There you go, man. Great job on that. All right, so let's get right into it, man, because this is a dogfight in both conferences. But I think before we get into the respective teams, I think if you look at this, you know, you have Milwaukee and the Knicks tied with the same record. You have in the East, you have Orlando, Indiana, and the Sixers tied with the same record. In the West, you got a three-way tie for first place between Denver, OKC, and the Timberwolves. You have Sacramento and the Warriors tied with the same record down in the play-in in the basement. I mean, if you just look at this from a regular season standpoint and the goals that the commissioner and the owners had in terms of bringing some more parity into the league, you had the in-season tournament this year. Obviously, the play-in tournament is continuing to evolve. I think this was a win for the league, man. For me, it's still Denver's to lose. But with the goal of adding more parity into this, this is the best shape the league has been in a long time. Andrew, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think part of that parity is the rules that are put in place. But also part of it is that I feel like we have more star players than ever before. And I feel like even the star is not as far away in terms of talent as the average NBA player. Just so many good basketball players that could, in the right role, sneak into an all-star game, right?
Yeah.
So I think that speaks to the parity. But, you know, this top of the Western Conference is absolutely ridiculous. From my understanding, if the teams stay in a tie, OKC is the number one seed. And who would have thought that? Like, OKC number one in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Just parity all over the place. Al, what do you think? Do you think parity is better for the league? Or do you think when we have a dynasty, it's better for the league? Or these teams that are just really far better than the others?
I think I hate to be that guy, but it could be both. I think right now it's nice for parity because we went through that stint of the Warriors and the Cavs, and we already knew what the finals would be in. When you do that, it's whether it's like the Lakers and the Celtics and their rivalry back in the day, or you're talking about Warriors and Cavs, it lasts for a certain amount of time where everyone's like, all right, we need to switch it up. We need something different. And now we're getting something different where you don't know who's going to be the NBA Finals at any given time, any season. And that's refreshing, right? You want to see different players, different teams win. Look, I was happy when Jokic and Murray won last year. I thought those guys were well-deserving of winning an NBA title just because of the stories both of them came through, right? You talk about Jokic, second-round pick, and then he works his way up there to be one of the best, if not the best, in the NBA. And you talk about Murray, who's coming back from injury, and he has his storyline. Both those guys have been on the team for such a long time. with Mike Malone being the coach for like over 7 years, right? It's a great story. It's a great story how you just see, hey, it's like a marathon. You stay on that pace, you stay grinding, and then next thing you know, everything comes to fruition. So I like that there's parity right now in the league, because as of right now, we have no idea who could come out of the West. We have no idea. Even though Boston is, you know, is given like the cakewalk, apparently, not necessarily the cakewalk, but already like dubbed as the Eastern Conference winners. We still don't know who can come out of the East. We know that that team is just very much as likely as they've done in the past to fall short as they have done in previous years. So you can't write anything off. And that's what makes this so interesting, is that you never know who's going to end up in the finals. But I will say, it is fun when you have two teams that are just locked in for a few years and you're like, all right, who's going to win this year? Who's really nice? Because between the Warriors and the Cavs, you know, there's a division between the Steph Curry, you know, fanboys and the LeBron fanboys. And they're, you know, coming at each other just like, hey, we're better. You're better. Yeah. We're better. You know, and you get all that, which is fun too.
Different, but both good.
Yeah. I have to agree on both sides. You know, number one, the star power, like you said, Andrew, from Halliburton getting his shine early in the season to Brunson getting his shine. It's the newer generation, right? Yeah, LeBron and Steph are starting their swan song, still at the top of their games, but coming down a little bit. KD as well. But now you've seen Halliburton elevate to the stage. Brunson getting his flowers now. Anthony Edwards getting his flowers. So, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at the top of the West. I think that's great for the league as you see the new era coming in. Yeah, you could talk about Tatum and Boston and so on. And so, you know, to see teams like Minnesota coming back from where they were last year up to the top of the West, a tough Western Conference, OKC being a 10th seed last year, now a number one seed this year. That's great for the league. And I like when, you know, new champions emerge. I think we all do, especially the storylines like Al talked about that, you know, come from that. And then I think once you get to the dynasty mode, that's when people want to see you get knocked off, right?
Yeah.
Like nobody wanted to see the Lakers keep winning or the Spurs keep winning. After a while, you get tired of it. You want to see something new, and maybe we'll see that this year. So let's get into the East first, because as I mentioned, the key storyline here is going to be what happens at the number two seed. You have the Knicks and the Milwaukee Bucks right now tied. One game left. The Knicks beating the Nets last night. Milwaukee losing in OKC without Giannis, without Dame. It's not clear. I think it's clear that Giannis is not going to play in Milwaukee's final game against the Magic, which is going to be on the road. Dame, we're not so sure if he's going to play. But if the Milwaukee Bucks lose that game to the Magic and the Knicks win on Sunday against the Bulls, in which they are 12-point favorites, the New York Knicks would get the second seed in the East. So that is how they will finish second. The Knicks can get the third seed if they beat the Bulls and Milwaukee beats Orlando. So they would stay where they are because the Bucks own the season tiebreaker when they won 3-2 in the regular season. Now, the Knicks can also finish third if they lose on Sunday and they own the head-to-head tiebreaker against the Cleveland Cavaliers. There is a scenario here where the Knicks could finish fourth, which is the worst place that they could finish in terms of the possibilities. They can finish fourth if they lose to the Bulls, Cleveland wins its regular season finale against the Hawks. Oh, no, Pacers are playing the Hawks. Cleveland wins its regular season finale, and the Bucks lose to the Magic. And the reason why, and a lot of Knicks fans, this was a question for us last night on Knicks Fan TV, Al, the reason the Knicks would drop below the Cavs is because in the event of a three-way tie, the tie goes to the division winner of those three teams. And in that case, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers who win the Central Division over the Milwaukee Bucks. So the Cavs would actually jump up there and the Knicks would drop to the fourth seed. So Al, I'll start with you on the Knicks front. In the likely scenario, let's say they win, they get to two seed. You're looking at potentially the Philly or the winner of the Philly-Miami play-in tournament. What do you think there?
Yeah, I mean, it's either Philly or Miami. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, if you win 50 games, you should be prepared to play either one of those teams. If you're looking at the Knicks-Philadelphia matchup, you know, it's Joel Embiid. This is where you feel comfortable if you're a Knicks fan. If you have Mitchell Robinson, Isaiah Hartenstein as your center duo, because you know you have a complete 48 minutes of solid center play, because you're going to need that to go against Joel Embiid. Yeah. Now, he did have a little bit of a scare, Joel Embiid, last night with tweaking his knee, but even still, Joel has just been on a tear this season when healthy, averaging over 30 points. I mean, the man is a double-double machine. You need to throw the kitchen sink when it comes to stopping Joel Embiid, because he's just that much of a wrecking ball. And then you have Jalen Brunson on the other side, and he's just as much as a wrecking ball at the guard position as Joel is at the center position. So it'd be a good matchup for two different physical style players at the complete opposite end of the spectrum. It'd be a very entertaining matchup. It's hard to say who you like in that matchup, just because you wish you had Randle and you had more star power for the Knicks to go against not only Embiid, but Tyrese Maxey. And they have a solid, well-rounded roster, right? They've only fallen back because they didn't have their MVP guy, but it would still be a nice matchup regardless. Now, if you're talking about the Miami Heat, that's a little bit more closer to the scale of, like, talent-wise, in my opinion. Yeah, you got Jimmy and Bam. But I feel like the Heat team is more matchup-wise within the category of the Knicks, just because it feels like Bam is not overly, like, offensive-driven. Like, yeah, he has a little bit of a mid-range. He can work the post. But it's not like having a stretch big like Joel, who you have to worry about at all three phases. But then there's always the Jimmy Butler effect. But with OG Anunoby, you always feel comfortable because he's the best defender, you know, one of the best defenders in the league. And, you know, he'd be getting the Jimmy Butler assignment, so you can feel confident there on the defensive end. But that, if you're a Knicks fan, you want that matchup. Like you said last night, CP, for revenge.
You just want pure, uncut
revenge.
Andrew, there's a lot of talk that getting the two seed might not be the best case scenario for either the Knicks or the Bucks, because you're getting either a fresher Philly team, which is a tough matchup and tough to deal with the MVP, or you're getting a tricky and respectable Miami Heat team where people like me, I can't count them out. And for the Bucks, that's nightmares, especially if you don't have a healthy Giannis. So what do you think about the prospects of facing either team, facing the Philly or Miami?
Yeah, I think for almost any team in the East, they rather play the Sixers than the Miami Heat. I think the Miami Heat are super scary. I think because the way they maximize talent, Tyler Hero coming back, playoff Jimmy is not regular season Jimmy. Like, he's different when it comes to the playoffs. And you see here gearing up. I think they're even more talented than last year. So with the coaching staff maximizing the talent they have with more talent, I think the Miami Heat are really scary. And I said they were my sleeper, or, you know, the team that I feel could be the most dangerous coming out the East. Also, another thing, interesting thing about this is, like, if the Knicks move up to the two seed, they have less time to prepare, if you think about it, right?
You would still, because that 7-8 matchup in the play-in is still going to happen. So you're still going to be looking at April 20th and 21st for the first round.
Right, but it's three. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. So it wouldn't be – got you.
They'll still have that week off like everybody else.
What I'm saying is you won't know who your opponent is. I get you.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, Tibbs likes to prepare, so I don't know. You're almost getting penalized a little bit in that regard, but yeah, I don't want to play Miami if I'm any of these teams, to be honest, and especially the Celtics, man. Like, I just think Miami has their heart.
You know, having watched this Knicks team play the Heat, and look, it was one game, make or miss league. The Knicks just weren't firing. They did make a valiant comeback in the end. Yes, I want to see them get revenge, especially after last year's disappointing series, but I do think they will be a tougher matchup for the Knicks, because I was talking to JD about this last night after postgame. I have a hard time finding the areas where the Knicks would have a clear-cut advantage over this Miami Heat team. Their versatility defensively. Yes, the Knicks have the size advantage, but Miami has sneaky size. Like, with Bam out there, with Kevin Love, like, you're not going to overpower them by any stretch. And I just think they are a versatile team. Their guards and wings have size and length that can give Brunson a little bit of trouble. And then you have the coaching factor, the Spoelstra factor. What is he thinking about? What is his counters to what Brunson did to his defense last year. How is he going to counter that? They're a team that can throw multiple looks at you, whether it's man, whether it's zone coverage, whether it's full court press. Like, he'll throw the whole kitchen sink and force the Knicks supporting cast to make big plays. And so that's why that team worries me the most. But with Philadelphia, having the Joel Embiid back at this time, it's almost a brand new team. You know, he's fresher. You have the MVP fresher. And Philly has what I think is, you know, is going to help them. And that is a better coach. A coach that will make adjustments in a Nick Nurse. You know, this isn't the Doc Rivers situation now. It's a totally different scenario. So I think Philly could be dangerous here. But Miami, for me, is going to be the tougher opponent if the Knicks have to play them. Or the Milwaukee Bucks.
I would also say one more thing. Like, who do you think impacts winning more in the playoffs? Jimmy Butler or Joel Embiid?
And Jimmy's proven it already. He's proven it.
Yeah. That's like another factor right there. So.
Yeah. So it's like.
And we've seen.
Yeah, go ahead. Get out.
And Joel might not be 100. You know, that's another thing.
And we've seen Jimmy win when he's not 100. That's the thing. Like, even last year, where you have all Heat fans arguing with Knicks fans saying, oh, he hurt Jimmy. Josh Hart hurt Jimmy. Jimmy was still fine enough to produce at a high enough level after tweaking his ankle or so forth. So, Jimmy's just a proven guy, man. Playoff Jimmy, in as much as, you know, some may dislike using that term, it's legitimate because he just elevates to that occasion.
Yeah. If I'm the Knicks, also, like, the Sixers' second best player is a young guy, very talented. But when your second best player is that young, not a lot of playoff experience, you know, versus what the Miami Heat have in experience, like, I just think the Sixers, not saying they're a walkover, but I just think they're the easier matchup.
Well, like Alex said, the Knicks' depth and the front court, I think, is going to help them in terms of battling against Embiid. Yeah. Now, also, I like the Hartenstein factor in terms of running some offense through him to pull Embiid away from the basket and, you know, make him think a little bit. That kind of opens up your backdoor cuts. It opens up your wing shooters by having Hartenstein. You know, that's not Mitch, right? A lot of these times over the years, we've been used to Mitch kind of going up against Embiid and still holding it down as much as he can defensively, but then offensively, you don't have to make Embiid work as much. Well, with iHeart, I think it changes a little bit. So that, to me, gives the Knicks the edge, plus the OG factor. Now you could put him out there to neutralize Maxey. You could take your chances on a Kelly Oubre. Maybe he shows up one day, maybe he doesn't. Buddy Hield, I'm not really fearful of. You know, Harris is a tough player, but I like the Knicks' chances there in a Philly matchup.
I also think Embiid can't drop too far because, like, let's say dribble handoff with Brunson. I mean, if you give Brunson space,
it's over
in the mid-range.
It's over. That's why when I look at Miami, Bam can play on the level.
Yes.
Bam can switch.
Yes.
That, you know, you want to talk about the dirty plays, all of that, fine. But outside of that, is it all NBA defense caliber player that the Knicks have to account for?
Yeah. So Embiid's going to have to be up no matter what. Like, whoever it is, like, he's going to have to be up because Jalen Brunson is just going to cook you if you try going drop.
Here we go. Let's look at this matchup between the Knicks and the Sixers when they were both healthy in January, both teams, that is. So you had couple of games in when after the OG Anunoby trade. Mm-hmm. Let's remember, OG was also switching onto Embiid and causing Embiid some problems. Embiid shot 10 for 23, got 30 points that game, went to the free throw line 12 times.
Mm-hmm. When was this game?
This January. Game was in January. I'm sorry. You. So the Knicks won 128-92. And keep in mind, Randle shot 1-for-11 this game. OG shot 3-for-11. Brunson went 11-20. You got 8-9 from Hartenstein, who was a starting center to go against Embiid too. Dante decided to go off with 4-for-6. And then you had a really good showing from your bench. I mean, McBride, that was the McBride game where he shot well from three. You had Grimes, who played well in that matchup too. Josh Hart was effective that game. So it's, even though we don't have Grimes and you don't have Randle, who still shot poorly that game, and I get the gravity that Randle attracts, but you still have most of this roster going back to go against Joel Embiid. And you think about having a guy like OG Anunoby, who you've seen can defend Giannis, who can not say he's going to stop Joel, but make it a little bit more difficult. Mm. Plus, with the help of like Hartenstein, I could see the Knicks just being able to slow Embiid down at that point.
Let me ask you guys this, because we've seen Bogey playing better at times lately, and I feel like in some ways, he's not the player Julius Randle is, but he kind of fits the way Jalen Brunson plays really well because he's a spacer. Would you feel like his play is the X factor for this team?
Yes.
Yeah.
One of them.
I think he's the second guy that you need. CP's guy, who I agree with, is Josh Hart. You need Josh Hart to just be that rebounding force.
But I feel like he's always solid, Josh Hart. Like, Bogey's could really be like a difference maker if he could play like the Bogey that was supposed to get, like, garner two first-round picks, right, by the Lakers back in the day, you know?
But the thing is, like, with Josh Hart, like, you know you can count on rebounding and assists and his playmaking, I should say. You just need – the scoring is a little inconsistent. You need some consistent scoring from Josh Hart just because – in my opinion, you do, especially in transition, just to make the Sixers play some honest defense. But with – I agree with you, Andrew, in the sense of, like, Bogdanovich, like, if he's going and it looks like he's moving in that direction where he can be a little bit more of a consistent scorer coming off the bench, he's definitely going to be impactful because especially when you have those mismatches for your second units, him playing the four, like – you're going to need him to start shooting over guys, knocking down threes. I could see that. I could see him being a big factor, especially when it comes to coming off the bench to help in the Knicks. If they're going to get past either one of the two teams, the Sixers and the Heat. And shout out to Gamba, who's asking about upsets in the play-in. Just want to go off a little tangent for a second. It's going to be whoever for second seeding, comfort number seven, like it's going to be either Philadelphia or the Heat, if it's going to be that matchup. Yeah. It has to be one of those two
it's
guys.
It's got to be one of those.
Number seven. It's the eight seed that's confusing. Because 9 and 10, whoever wins that, then has to play the loser of seven
gotta
and eight.
Got to play twice.
So that number, the eight seed is the wild card for the first seed.
Yeah.
Seven is going to be a lock.
Seven is going to be decided after one game. That's correct. And for Hart, he's number two for me because he's got to do everything. He's got to rebound. He's got to put this team in position to win the rebounding battle. You know, Ihart's going to have his battles. Mitch is going to be out there helping, but Josh Hart is going to be vital for that. He has to be able to get this team easy buckets when they can because this team is going to struggle to find offense. Without a second consistent star, offense is not going to flow every single night. And then thirdly, he has to be confident enough to step in and knock down those threes because I don't see any team respecting his jumper in the playoffs. They're going to be locking in on Brunson. They will leave Josh Hart wide open. Just like they did last year.
Yeah, he got it.
And so that can compromise the spacing a little bit. So he's got to be confident and knock those down or be able to attack the basket, get some high percentage points, or play make off of that. So that's why, to me, Josh Hart is very important because he's kind of like a three-point playmaker. You know, a three-point play in terms of shooting, playmaking, and rebounding. But Bogdanovich, as you said, he's going to be vital for these guys. Mm-hmm. Because after Brunson and Hart, he's your most reliable and capable playmaker, not just shooting the threes, but he's going to have to put the ball on the floor and make plays. But his playing time is going to be predicated not on his offense, but on how well he can defend. Because when he's out there, he's going to be a marked man, just like what we saw in the playoffs, in the regular season. Any game, any team that's playing the Knicks, they're going after him right away. So you're going to see multiple screens, multiple switches to get that ideal scenario where you got your star isolated on Bojan Bogdanovic and then it's just green light all day. So he's going to have to play respectable defense and Tibbs is going to have to put him out there in good lineups with McBride, with OG, with Mitch to really cover him where they can help cover his weaknesses.
Okay, let me ask you guys this question since we're talking about Bogdanovic. And I know we got to go over to the West.
Yeah, after this we'll go West,
If you're thinking about Bogdanovich playing defense, who would you rather face, the Sixers or the Heat? Just because, for me, if I think about the Heat, you know Spoelstra is having all those guys run. There's a reason why there is a body fat count for each position in Miami. You know, there's a reason why they have them run and you have to come in weighing at a certain level. So with Spoelstra, you know, like if you're Bogdanovich, you have to be ready to constantly be looking for screens, moving around left and right, laterally, north and south. It's all there. With Philly, at least, and they have been better about moving off ball this season. Like Nick Nurse has made an emphasis for Joel Embiid to be not just a scorer, but to be a facilitator as well. But it just feels like they play at a slight slower pace where it could actually be in favor of Bogdanovich if you're thinking about the New York Knicks in that respect.
Yeah, I don't think opponent matters when it comes to the Sixers offense because Embiid's just going to try and get Embiid buckets. Like, so they're not. They're, I don't even know.
Embiid is still pulling up on the elbow at the free throw line.
My man don't care who Bogey's guarding. My man's gonna get in his bag. He's been working all summer. Tyrese is in his skill development bag. They're gonna get. He's gonna give you like 8 step backs. I don't know, man, if they're moving the ball and finding Bogey in bad situations. Even though, to your point, CP, that's what the NBA has become, right? Finding the weak link and going after him. And I think Miami will do a better job of targeting that than the Sixers.
Agreed. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for your boys, CP, Alex, and Andrew. The NBA report is on and popping, and we are talking about a wild, wild final day of the NBA coming up on Sunday. No games tonight. I like how they schedule that. No games tonight. All eyes on the league on Sunday, and most games start at 1 o'clock and 3:30. So by 5:30, you're gonna know the entire playoff landscape. Everything is gonna be set, and it's gonna come down to the last day for a lot of teams. And speaking of teams, let's go out to the West because the Denver Nuggets, guys, the Denver Nuggets on the road in San Antonio, with leading by damn near 20 points. Lose. Had a 23-point lead against Wemby and the Spurs. The Nuggets losing 121 to 120. Spurs coming out and scoring, 71 points in the second half. Great job, man. I like how the Spurs fought to the end. You know, they still 21-60. The record is what it is, but we saw some very competitive games from the Spurs all year. Wemby with 34-12-5. 34-12-5.
My man was pulling from 50.
Yeah, no Vassell, no Sohan. You know, not like he would have made a difference, but, I mean, this is an undermanned Spurs team, and they went out there and knocked off the champs. Yeah, Jamal Murray with 35-5. Jokic with a quiet 22-12, 9-13 from the field. So, but I say that to say the Nuggets now need help to get the number one seed. They have to, because they don't own the tiebreaker over the Thunder or the Timberwolves, they have to win tomorrow against – and they're playing tomorrow? The Nuggets are playing the Grizzlies. They have to win tomorrow and hope that both Minnesota and OKC lose their final games, man. Al, your thoughts on the top of the West. Who's getting the number one seed, man?
Bro, it is crazy. Think about – so OKC owns, as you mentioned, the tiebreaker between the Nuggets. However, the Nuggets and the Timberwolves – split, and OKC and the Timberwolves have also split. So this is complete chaos.
Chaos.
But I'm gonna go with I'm gonna go with the Thunder at this point to get that number one seed, which is even insane to see. Talk about going from worst to first in one season, just because SGA, his ascension is just great. Jalen Williams, his ascension is also phenomenal. You have the return of Chet Holmgren. Between those three guys, man. Good Lord. I see Andrew's looking at me for a second.
I have to ask you a question. I want you to break this down for me, okay? Let's say OKC is the number one seed. Who could they play against, right? Who are some of the options of teams they could play against? Because I want to see SGA take one of these icons out. That's what I've been aiming for all
year. It ain't the Lakers.
But no, it could be the Lakers because – Well, go ahead.
I understand that, but I'm just saying it would not be the Lakers they can take out.
Yes.
It would not be like there's an opportunity they could play the Lakers, which would be a horrible matchup front court wise.
Right.
But
even though the Lakers struggled with the G League team last night, but that's a whole other topic.
Hey, that's a whole other topic.
It is.
Front court.
Shout out to
LeBron and AD against Chet.
Yeah.
Jalen Williams. That's not fair. That's not fair. But you got to hope if you're the Thunder that it's either the Kings or the Warriors.
Right.
Or somehow even the Suns, you know, just mess up that if they're in the plan, because we're still waiting to see if it's Pelicans and Suns. They're the last determining factor of who's going to be number six or number seven. If it's one of those two teams that you got to face, if you're OKC, if somehow they fall that far.
Pelicans give you kind of some of that same challenges with Zion, right? Like the same challenges you would get with AD and Braun with the paint pressure.
Yeah.
But Valanciunas at your center, though, he's not as mobile as like Anthony Davis, which is like if you're going to have Valanciunas guarding at the perimeter, check and just put it on the deck and then, you know, just attack, go down the lane.
Yeah, I have to think, you know, the biggest winner of the Nuggets choking last night is the Lakers. You know, by the Lakers can lock up the eighth seed if they beat the Pelicans tonight. And then, you know, they would have to go into the play-in still But if you come out and it's one seed and you're looking at either OKC or the Timberwolves for the Lakers, you got to be happy. Because of those three teams, you can't beat the champs. But I certainly would give the Lakers a great chance to beat Minnesota or to beat OKC if one of those teams were to get the number one seed and the Lakers make it out of the play-in with the eighth seed.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. And I think the Lakers could really beat any of these teams in a series. And I don't feel that way when it comes to some of those other teams in their vicinity, like Sac and Golden State Warriors and even Phoenix.
Yeah,
I mean, the LA Lakers with AD and LeBron and Rui Hachimura has been having a great season. And then Vanderbilt could possibly get healthy. I mean, I think this team is dangerous in the playoffs. What a rocky road year, but you never know, man. You never know what could happen in this West. And I think the Lakers actually have a chance.
So I got a question. So, like, let's say, I mean, I guess it's tough because the plane still has to work its way through. So I can't even go through my hypothetical because I'm just looking at the Nuggets and it's either going to be the Suns or Pelicans for them. I just feel like the Nuggets, that's just a solid matchup for either one of those teams. But I'm going to go into the play-in now because this is where it's really fun. Kings get the rematch potentially with the Golden State Warriors in a one-game elimination. Now, CP, I know you remember because you were producing when I had James Ham on to break down that Knicks-Kings game.
Yeah.
And I asked him point blank, Kings playing against the Warriors. How do you feel? And he was not confident about
that. Yeah. And James Ham, who's he write for again? Just give the people some background on who he is.
He writes for the Kings beat, but you can also catch him on ESPN radio out there in California as well. He's been covering the Kings for, I think, about 15 years. So if you haven't, make sure to go check out James Ham over there. But, you know, that's fun.
James has been through the highs and the lows 15 years. The low.
Oh,
lows.
Yes. He's talked about it. He's like, this is the most winning he's seen covering the Kings. So, but the fact that you get the Warriors again, most likely, damn.
Yeah.
That tough. Sucks.
West is tough, man.
I think it's been a tough year for the Kings all the way around. I have no confidence in them doing anything but just kind of showing up and being window dressing. It's just who they are, right? They can't be any better than they are. You know, Fox is a great player. Sabonis has had his moments of greatness, but the supporting cast overall needs a significant upgrade to give that team a legitimate shot in the West. They're a cute
Monk
team.
Monk out. That's probably Monk their third out. Best player, even
yeah,
though
cooked.
He's a sixth man.
You're cooked.
Yeah,
they're done. Stick a fork in them. How about the Pelicans, though? I think the Pelicans are an intriguing team. They could get the sixth team. They can get the sixth seed tonight if they beat tomorrow, if they beat the Lakers.
Zion's looking good, man.
Zion's looking great.
26 points a game over the last eight.
Yeah.
He looks like he's in shape. Yeah, man, he's scary.
So who's the matchup of the top three that you would give the Pelicans the best shot to advance?
I got to say OKC.
OKC, really not Minnesota?
Nah, you know why? Because I feel like with Zion's rim pressure, Rudy could, you know, eliminate some of that.
Yeah.
Cat is back now. OKC, I mean, like, when Zion gets to the rim against OKC, and I love Chet, I think he's a great rim protector, but I think it's going to be problems for OKC. I think OKC would win. I just think they got the best chance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Al, who you think?
I'm thinking Minnesota, but I know what you guys were probably telling me. It's like Minnesota still to this day, holds the number one defensive rating in the NBA, which is just insane. Even after losing Cat, who has been playing slightly better defense this season, but even still, like the way I look at it, if you're, because who we're talking about, we're saying who could stop the Pelicans?
No, Denver, I'm Minnesota, saying who do they have a better chance of advancing? Pass in the first round. Let's say they get the sixth seed.
Advancing.
Let's say they get the sixth seed after tomorrow, and then they're looking at one of those three teams at the top. Who do you think they have a better chance against?
I just think the offense of the Pelicans could be a little bit more consistent than the Timberwolves, just because I trust Ant-Man. I trust Zion at this point, just because he's been so consistent. I don't know if I trust Cat though, because the past two playoffs, man. And I know he's had a better offensive season throughout the regular season this year, but I don't know. The last two postseasons, he really hasn't won me over just with the decision-making. I mean, CP, we cover the Knicks, and we've seen Julius Randle start, you know, trying to post up somebody from the three-point line. I mean, Cat has gone to that, which is just, you know, a little strange at times, considering that he has a height advantage. So I need to see better decision-making from Cat in order to believe the Timberwolves can get past that next round. That's why I think for the Pelicans, And they already have that chippiness on their shoulder that, you know, between them and the Suns, it feels like that's already existent. You know how Zion can play. As Andrew already noted, he can get downhill easily.
Yeah.
Brandon Ingram, I just feel like, and I know he has his games where it's just like, yo, where are you? But I just think in the playoffs, I don't know, there's something that I can lean a little bit more towards believing in Brandon Ingram's game to show up more, just because he doesn't really change too much from his style, rather than Cat, just it seems like he gets flustered. More as like for Ingram, is he actually going to be knocking down shots that night?
It's interesting that you mentioned Julius Randle and Cat in the same sentence, because both teams didn't really miss a beat when these guys are out. So does Cat even have to be a 1B or a number two option for them to win? Because Naz Reid been filling in a lot of what he does. Obviously, he's not the talent of a Cat, but, I mean, he's been really great for them, and they haven't been missing a beat. So if Cat could just be like a superstar in a role at this point, I know that's probably not Cat's ideal situation. I mean, I think it could be dangerous in the West, and I think they could be really good because Naz Reid has filled in really nicely.
OKC is going to be interesting for me in terms of matchup against anyone, because I want to see how they fare in terms of matching the physicality and the size disadvantages that they're going to be going into basically in most series, you know, maybe outside of like playing Phoenix. They'll go up against the Pelicans size disadvantage. You know, later on, if they have to play the champs, size disadvantage. If they have to play the Lakers, size disadvantage. Like, I want to see how they handle that in that next level, because now the true test is going to begin. Chet is going to be tested. You know, how they handle opposing side. Like, even the Pelicans, right? Just as you said, you know, with Zion and Valanciunas, like, can they handle that? I'm just not so sure. You know what I mean?
I got a fun question, just to change it up a bit. Andrew, what would you like to see happen more? Mm-hmm. Would you like to see SGA go all the way to the finals and take down Jason Tatum? Or would you rather see Anthony Edwards go all the way to the finals and take down Jason Tatum?
Man, that is tough. But I love both those players. But I would have to say Ant-Man, just because of his personality. I mean, SGA speaks through IG captions and the fashion, and I know that's very much down with this era. But Anthony Edwards, the media clips we're going to get with that run, I mean, that's going to be more fun to me. I mean, I think he has that superstar quality, and I'd love to see him thrive and take down Jason Tatum. But SGA would be fun as well.
Who would you want, CCP, between those two?
I'd love to see SGA get a ring. Ooh, okay. I'd love to see him get a ring. I like that OKC squad.
Is it because he's a little bit older than Ant-Man? Is that why?
I just love his game, man. He's one of my favorite players in the game.
He's so tough.
He's so tough, man. I just think he deserves that, you know? Mm-hmm. I want to see him get the MVP, because I think the MVP can literally go to anybody in any given year, throw them advanced stats out the window. I think it's a toss-up between the top three every year. You know, you can make a case for any of those guys to win it. And I just feel like for him to be able to bring his team from the 10th seed last year all the way to the top – in the West, that's my MVP, man. I don't care what the advanced numbers say. Even the Brunson factor. That's why I'm putting Brunson in my top five. Like, we talked about that all week, Al.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting him up there. But for SGA, for me, in a tougher conference and at the top of the conference, to me, that's my guy.
I know we're short on time, but, wow, I got a few questions there.
Yeah.
I would say that SGA is probably the better basketball player right now, but Anthony Edwards probably has the higher ceiling at this point. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Sure.
And also, we talked about way back, I actually reposted this clip recently, where we all were agreeance that Jalen Brunson should be first team all NBA.
Yes.
My question to you now, CP, is you weren't sure about the voters thinking the same way, but now, a month later, do you think the voters will have Jalen Brunson over Tatum at this point? Because we've just seen them in a matchup together, and Brunson takes over at the end of that game. Matchups are important.
I think he swayed opinions in this last month. I think he has to. There was just a interview my guys over on NBA Radio just had, Gary Washburn on Boston Globe. I believe he said he's going to put him in first team. I believe so. It was either that or the MVP vote where he had him like near the top. And so – oh, yeah, it was the MVP vote where he had him over Giannis. He had him up there over Giannis. And Giannis in the MVP ladder is number four right now. So if you're going to put Brunson up there at four, which I believe he should be, then he's definitely first team All-NBA. So I think, you know, you look at the body of work, and if this team finishes with the second seed tomorrow, with all that they've gone through, two big trades and major injuries to 60% of their starting lineup, no one has had to deal with the adversity that Brunson has had to deal with this year. And he got hurt himself.
Yeah, and my mother said he's the MVP, and I know Al agrees with that, right?
Yeah, I agree 1,000%.
Yeah.
Look, I already said on post-game earlier this week, Jalen Brunson's better than Jason Tatum, okay? Point blank, period. I mean, I know for some, especially Celtics fans who tune in, who have met me through my walks here in the city, they're going to hate that I said that. But when you watch this past matchup, and even the game before that, and Brunson's still getting his, we can all talk about, hey, there's guys that stop Tatum and make him feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Can we really say that for Jalen Brunson? Who makes him feel uncomfortable?
Sure.
And isn't that the level of definition of what a superstar is? I mean, we could talk about Jordan, Kobe, and all these guys, right? But the fact that those guys, and they'll tell you who was like a difficult opponent to go against, but they still got theirs. Like, Brunson's still getting his. And there's no Randall on the court. Tatum has Jaylen Brown, KP, and all these other dudes, but you throw OG Anunoby on him, he's not the same Jason Tatum.
Yeah. I think, you know what a big separating factor is from Jalen Brunson and Jason Tatum? Now, Jason Tatum has the size. He probably has the athleticism. He has the length. He might even have, like, just as crazy of a bag at 6'8", 6'9". But what Jalen Brunson has over Jason Tatum is leadership, this, and this. And I think that's the separating factor between those two players. And for the audio listeners out there, I was talking about brain and heart.
There you go, man. Well said. Well said, fellas. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up on for you boys. A lot to think about, a lot to consider. And tomorrow night, the final game of the NBA regular season is going to be electric, man. We're looking forward to it. Next weekend, we are going to break down all of the matchups, everything as we get into the first round of the regular season. We want to take some calls tonight, but we're a little bit pressed for time. So, Big Frank on the in the chat, you give us a call tomorrow after the Knicks game, Knicks versus Bulls game. Give us a call, and we will certainly address all the questions. I think his question was, do the Knicks play all their guys on Sunday? Absolutely. Everybody's playing regular minutes. The Knicks are trying to win that game. Tibbs is not resting anybody. Bulls look like they might, but I don't see the Knicks taking their foot off the gas. They're going for it. And we'll see, man. Just let the chips fall where they may. Remember that this show's available in audio podcast format, man. Catch us on all major podcast platforms. If you missed today's show, go ahead and rewind and catch up. Salute to the replay gang. Tomorrow, Knicks Fan TV, post-game live, Knicks versus Bulls. We'll be on at about 3:30, and we'll break everything down. We'll see where they end up, who they will match up with, potentially, and kick off playoff week, man. So, CP, Alex, Andrew, great show, everybody. We will see you guys on the NBA report next Saturday. And on Knicks Fan TV, we'll see you guys tomorrow.